Good morning. I am very thankful for the opportunity that y'all have given me to come and be with y'all and spend the weekend. I got showed around Amarillo yesterday, and someone asked me if it took 5 minutes, and the Pope's made it take a little bit longer than that, thankfully. But it's been fun to get to come back up here and get to be with y'all, and I hope that the things that we discuss this day will be a glory to God and a help to you as they have been to me in studying for them. If you'd like to go ahead and turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6, that's where we will take our text for this morning's lesson. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah was a prophet of God who was sent to Judah before the Babylonian captivity, just before the children of Israel, the final southern tribes of Israel fell. The Babylonians came in and took them, and we find Jeremiah, this prophet, right in the middle of it, prophesying to God's people, trying to get them to repent of their sins, and it's really a sad situation that we find him in. Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet. His book is filled with sadness for the situation of God and God's people, and it's filled with this imagery that is just depressing to read a lot of times. Jeremiah saw God's people forget their Creator. He saw God's people forget God Himself. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, Jeremiah writes, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Jeremiah witnessed the people of God forget God. He recognized that there were two evils that Israel had committed. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, a few verses previous, he said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah says these people that are supposed to be God's people, they have forsaken the living water, they have forsaken God, the one who brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And not only that, but they have made their own cisterns, the cisterns that cannot hold water. They have relied in themselves rather than in God. And to top it all off, Jeremiah said that the people of God loved to have it so. They loved it this way. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30, Jeremiah 5 and verse 30, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so, but what will you do when the end comes?" Jeremiah was prophesying to a nation, to the southern tribes of Israel, that were rapidly moving away from God. They were moving farther and farther away from God. Sounds kind of like our nation, I think. We are a people who we want to hear the things that we want to hear. As it were, our prophets are prophesying falsely, and we have all these lies around us, and we love to have it so all too often. In chapter 6, however, Jeremiah laid out the pattern for Israel's departure from God. He spoke to the people and showed them that the path they had chosen to take was leading them away from God. But I think he could have just as easily been talking about our society today. The spiritual attitudes that lead to the downfall in Judah, the spiritual attitudes and the path that they chose to take can be found today and will lead us to a similar path of destruction. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine, the remnant of Israel. Like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn, they take no pleasure in it. Therefore, I am full of the wrath of the Lord, I am weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children in the street, and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. In these verses, these are very sober verses, I think. And in these verses, Jeremiah says, this is the path that Israel has taken. These are the steps. This is the pattern of Israel's departure from God. And those are the things that I'd like to look at this morning with you. The first thing that we're going to look at is that the children of Israel refused to listen to the words of God. They stopped listening to God's words, and it caused them to depart from God. They were obsessed with material things, secondly. And finally, not only did they stop listening to God's words, but they deluded themselves with falsehoods. They believed lies. Fourth, they were not ashamed of their sins. The text says they couldn't even blush. They weren't ashamed of the things they were doing. They loved to have it so. And finally, they rejected the only possible cure that they had to return back to the Lord. Israel refused to listen to the words of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, read with me again the first few verses, 9 and 10. Jeremiah 6, 9 and 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine the remnant of Israel. Like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. The people of Israel refused to listen over and over again. This was not something new to the children of Israel. Isaiah spoke the same way of Israel in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9. In Isaiah 30 and verse 9, the prophet says, for they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. The children of Israel didn't care about what God had to say. They didn't care about that anymore. They didn't want to hear it. They are rebellious against God. They will not hear the law of Jehovah. This has almost become a signature of the Israelites throughout history. From the time they came out of Egypt, they received the Ten Commandments. They received the laws off the mount. And what did they do? But they went and built idols. They went and worshipped other gods. They constantly went contrary to the words of God. They didn't care about what God said to them. Aren't people the same way today? Aren't many people around us the same? They just don't care about what God has to say. People refuse to hear the words of God. Jesus spoke of the people in his own day. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Jesus says, this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus said these people don't listen anymore. They don't see the things that they need to be seeing. They don't care about the words of God. They no longer, their ears don't hear them. These people did not listen to the truth. Peter spoke of people who refuse to hear the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 4, Peter writes, they will say, and he's talking about scoffers here in the content. He talks about how these people who scoff at the words of God, he says, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. Peter is speaking of certain people here who deliberately overlook certain truths. They don't want to hear what God has to say. Other translations say they willfully forget. They don't care about the words of God. Many people think that they know more than God. They think, I know more about myself than God knows about me. I can do this on my own. I refuse to listen to God. But consider this with me for a minute. God created man. We read of that back in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created mankind. God is our creator. And it is God who has given man a purpose for living. We read of this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The author says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God created us and he gave us a purpose in this life. And I would suggest to you that there is no one better to direct the course of man than his maker and his creator. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah writes, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need the words of God. If we turn away from the words of God, if we no longer care about what God has to say, we will the result will be moral depravity. We will fall farther and farther away from God. This is what we see in the nation of Israel. And it is what we see today in our own lives when we refuse to hear God. If we refuse to hear God's word, we will find ourselves departing farther and farther away from him. But we must also watch, and we must also make sure that we are seeking the proper things in this life. Because the Israelites in Jeremiah, they obsessed themselves with material things. They wanted only those things that gave them this momentary pleasure in this world. Jeremiah chapter 6, continue reading with me in our text. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Therefore I am full of the wrath of the Lord, I am weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children in the street, and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. Israel was simply taken over by worldly things. Israel wanted these things so badly that they became greedy. They became covetous of these things, and they would do anything to get them. It talks about how they were greedy for unjust gain. And it talked about how everyone dealt falsely for these things. Everyone of the Israelites had grown to love the world. Everyone from the smallest to the greatest. Everyone from the prophet to the priest. It says they dealt falsely. I think this is an interesting theme that we see running through the prophets. The fact that the prophets and the priests were falling into these traps of covetousness and falling farther from God. Because what we see throughout the prophets is that as soon as the prophets and the priests, as soon as the leaders of Israel fell, that's when the nation fell. And the fact is that the nation of Israel did not have the leadership that they needed, because even the prophets and the priests were dealing falsely because of their covetousness and their greed. Their desire for material, worldly things moved them to deal falsely to obtain them. They moved them to do things that aren't fair, unjust gain, do things that aren't proper in order to get them. When people became obsessed with worldly things, they use immoral ways to get them. And we see that constantly throughout our society. And it's not hard to see this today, because we live in a very materialistic world. People tend to measure their life by the material gain that they have. But Jesus taught us differently in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Jesus tells us this parable about this man who spent his whole life gaining these material things, this whole life, you know, building these bigger barns to store all his many possessions. And in the end, it's vanity, because God says your soul is required of you. What's going to happen to your material things? So Jesus warns us, be on guard against covetousness. This life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. But this is the mindset of so many people today. Paul made it clear that we cannot take material things with us when we leave. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, Paul writes to the young preacher, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." This is the same conclusion that Job reached. We'll remember the story of Job. He had everything he could ever want. He had all the riches in the world. He had a family. He was wealthy. He was well known among his peers. And then one day he lost it all. He lost everything he ever wanted, all of his possessions. And in Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job recognized that the material things of this world were not what he needed for happiness. Sadly, today it is not that way. Job recognized that there was more than the gains he made in this world. Jesus gives us a warning in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Rather than gaining the material things of this world, rather than putting all of our hopes and our desires in this world, lay up your treasures in heaven, Jesus says. That is where true happiness and satisfaction is found. Paul told the Corinthians not to look at the things of this world. He says these things which are seen are not the things that will last. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Paul says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are transient," or other translations will read temporal. They're temporary. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Set your treasures in heavens, in the things that are unseen. Those are the things that will last. So we quickly begin to see how the people of Israel were moving away from God. They no longer listened to his words. They refused to hear those things. And then they became obsessed with the world. They wanted nothing but the material things in the world. And when we seek worldly things above spiritual things, we grow farther away from God. But that's not all that the children of Israel did. We must also be careful to guard against things that are false, to guard against falsehoods. Back in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, Jeremiah says, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Israel not only refused to hear the words of God, it wasn't just that they didn't want to hear what God said, but they tricked themselves into believing lies. The Israelites comforted themselves by telling themselves that everything was fine. Everything is okay. There's peace in this nation. Peace, peace, they said. Although their lifestyles, through their lifestyles, everything was obviously not peaceful. The southern tribes of Judah were facing captivity. The Babylonians were soon to come in and take them. They were not at a peaceful time. But they believed all was well. They believed this lie. Jeremiah told them very plainly, there is no peace. But they wanted to hear what made them happy. And so that's what they heard. Isaiah also recognized that Israel longed to believe these lies. In Isaiah chapter 30, a passage we referenced a little bit earlier, Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 8 this time, he says, now go, write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for them, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. They didn't want to hear the words of God. Instead, they wanted their prophets to prophesy things to them that made them feel good, that were smooth to their ears, that made them feel good about the situation they were in. They wanted the prophets to say only the things that they wanted to hear. And today, it's the same way. People leave God to hear what makes them happy. They no longer want to hear the words of God. They want to hear those things that make them feel good about their situation. Paul wrote of those who have no love for the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, Paul wrote to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul said there are these people who are going to come along and they're not going to care about the truth. They're going to want to follow the lies. And he says God's going to let them follow the lies that they want to follow. They refused to love the truth and so be saved. The people didn't love the truth. They didn't accept the truth. And the result was error. But we know the words of Jesus in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. But in verse 32, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to have our foundation in the truth of God's word, not in lies that surround us. Paul warned Timothy of this same mindset in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes the young preacher, warning him of the troubles that's going to face him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul writes, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul told Timothy, there's going to be people who don't care about the truth. You have to teach truth, despite what others want to hear. Paul told the Romans that there were some who exchanged the truth of God for a lie in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. In verse 25 specifically, he says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. He says people want to hear lies and it pushes them farther and farther away from God. If we make ourselves believe lies, we're only going to find ourselves departing farther and farther from the truth of God. So the children of Israel refused to hear the words of God. They didn't want to have anything to do with what God had to say. They obsessed themselves with worldly, materialistic things that they gained through these unjust ways, these unfair ways. They dealt falsely to get these materialistic things, and they convinced themselves to believe in lies. We must remain faithful to the truth of God. If we don't, we will leave God, just like the children of Israel did. But the next thing we read of Israel, I think, is perhaps the saddest. It shocks me the most when I read it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Israel rejected God. They refused to hear Him. They stole and cheated for personal gain. And they embraced the false teachers that surrounded them. But perhaps the most shocking thing is that they were not ashamed of any of it. It didn't prick them at all that they were doing something wrong. They had no conscience of the things that they were doing. And certainly they should have been. They should have felt horrible for the things that they were doing. They were going completely contrary to the law of God that He gave to them. But the children of Israel simply couldn't blush anymore. They forgot how to be ashamed of themselves. We live in a very permissive society today. A society that really sin doesn't bother us anymore. We have sin around us and it just, you know, we hear language on TV, we see things that we shouldn't see, and we just brush it off like it's no big deal. Have we forgotten how to blush? That's what happened to the children of Israel. They could no longer blush. They no longer felt shame. Sin needs to make us feel shame. Christians must blush when we are around sin. Paul wrote the Corinthians hoping to make them feel ashamed for the things that they had done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul wrote the Corinthians because they had a lot of problems going on in the church. And he said, I'm going to write to you and I'm going to help you get through these things. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5, he said, I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? In the American Standard Version, it says, I say this to move you to shame. He says, I want you to hear these things so that you are ashamed of the things that you have done, so you turn from the things that you have done. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? And they went, and we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, after they had sinned, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? Because they were ashamed of themselves. They were embarrassed for the things that they had done. We read on down in verse 10 of Genesis 3. Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam felt shame. And we too have to feel shame when we have gone contrary to the will of God. Immorality is glamorized all around us. We watch it on TV and the movies. We see it on the internet, even in the political world. The life of sin is something that everybody longs for. They desire that life. Do we not have shame anymore? Have we forgotten how to blush? Paul warned that some people have had their conscience seared. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes the young preacher, Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. It's like this image of you know, you get a burn and you get a callus and it's just tough. You don't feel anything there. That's the way their consciences are. They no longer feel when they sin. They no longer have a conscience. They're just calloused over. Is that the way we have become? Have we become callous to sin so that we no longer can blush at the sight of it? May it never be said of us. Paul tells us that it should be shameful even to speak about these things. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, Paul wrote the Ephesians, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." Does it bring shame to us to talk about sin? It should. We must feel shame. We must not forget how to blush. If we become so callous that we can no longer even notice sin around us, then we will find ourselves departing farther and farther from God like Israel. Israel decided. They said, "We're not going to listen to God anymore." They said, "The worldly things are more important than God. We're going to strive for the material things of this world." They decided that they were going to go after lies and believe the false teachers of their day. And finally, they just got to the point where they didn't care about their sins anymore. Their sins didn't bother them. It is certainly a sad day when Christians don't blush at sin. Sin needs to be an embarrassment to us. And this attitude only pulls us farther and farther away from God. But we must also be careful. The last thing that Jeremiah mentions about the children of Israel in this text, we must also be careful not to turn away from the only way to salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 6, let's pick up our reading again in verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it." Jeremiah begged the people. He said, go back to the old path. Follow that ancient way that you used to walk on. Follow the way of God and you will be saved. He calls it the good way. He told them that this is where they would find rest from the troubles surrounding them. Walk this path and find rest. This was the cure to their problems. But they said, we will not walk in it. We are told the same thing today. We are constantly encouraged to go back to God. Turn back to God. He loves you. He wants you to come back. He wants you to be saved. When the Ephesian church departed from Christ, in Revelation chapter 2, as Christ is addressing the seven churches of Asia, and in Revelation chapter 2 and beginning in verse 4, he addresses the Ephesian church. He says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, he said, you have abandoned this way that you used to walk. He said, repent, turn back to it. Return to your first love. And of course, if they didn't return, the result was that their lampstand would be removed. They would be destroyed. They would be forgotten. Just like Jeremiah told Israel, we are told to go back to the true path. We are told to walk the ancient path that Christ has set up. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 5, we read this conversation between Thomas and Jesus. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to find the old path. If you want to find the ancient path, you go through Christ. He is the only way to salvation. And as soon as we reject that path, as soon as we reject that way, then we will have departed from God. We will have rejected the only possible cure that we can have. Jesus has said that he is the way. Follow after him. And many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with Matthew chapter 7. As Jesus stands in the Sermon on the Mount, at the very tail end of that discourse, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Which path are we taking? Christ begs with us, take the old path. Take the path to salvation. Take the narrow way. We must walk the straight and narrow way that leads to life. There is only one way to God, and if we refuse that path, we've missed our only chance at getting to Him. God pled with Israel through Jeremiah, return to the old path, the true path. Walk that way. Therein you will find rest. But the sad words of Israel's reply were, we will not walk therein. They didn't want that cure. Israel rejected the one way they had back to God, the one way that they could be saved. And the result was destruction. In verse 19 of Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah says, hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. Because they did not take God's path, because they did not take the cure, they were destroyed. The Babylonians came in and they destroyed the people of God. They took them away into captivity. And we know the story that only a remnant returned. The nation was destroyed. Israel left God. They refused to listen to the words of God. They didn't want to have anything with the words that God wanted them to hear. And they became obsessed with the material things of this world. They became obsessed with the various worldly things, the things that are seen, the temporary things. And finally, they deluded themselves with falsehoods. They didn't hear the words of God, but they wanted to hear these lies. They wanted to hear these things that tickled their ears, that made them happy. And they were not ashamed. They couldn't blush at the things. They became so callous to their sins that they no longer cared. And finally, when Jeremiah pled with them and said, return to the path of God, they rejected it. They rejected the only cure that they had at getting back to God. These things led the southern tribes of Judah away from God. These southern tribes were soon taken into captivity, but it's because they left God. It's not because God left them. They walked away from God. They walked away from the blessings that God offered. In the same way, we need to guard ourselves against these things. The same things will lead us away from God if we let them. The same steps that Israel took, the same path that they walked down, we can walk down too. And if we do, we will face a very similar fate of destruction away from the presence of God eternally. We must never leave God. We must never refuse God's words. We must never be engulfed with the worldly things, but set our mind on spiritual things. We must never fall for the lies that the world wants to give us. We must always be ashamed of our sins. And we must take hold of that cure. We must take hold of that path and walk that path, the true path. I ask you that if you find yourself in this situation this morning, if you are not walking the path of God, if you are constantly walking away from God, departing from God, come back to Him. Return to the old path. God wants you to follow after Him. Why do you wait? What are you waiting for? As Ananias told Paul, arise, be baptized and wash away your sins. If there is anything we can do this morning to help you make your life right with God, we ask that you would come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.